these guys get parachuted into a department that have maybe a different jargon, different words for different instruments or widgets and so forth, and they just need to operate. And one of the things that really blew my mind is that I asked one of the travelers, how do you recognize these instruments if you have never seen it before? And he's like, well, I Google the SKU and I look at images.
Rising above the buzz of ultrasonic cleaners and the clanking of stainless steel are the ideas and voices that are changing an industry. You're listening to the Beyond Clean podcast, the central nexus for the people, processes, and products that are improving our sterile processing world. Each week, we speak with frontline technicians, CEOs, engineers, and entrepreneurs with a common goal to help you fight dirty. Every instrument, every time. Whether you're tuning in for education or inspiration, we're glad you did. Now, turn on those washers and turn up the volume. It's time to go beyond clean.
On this week's Vendor Spotlight, we speak with Itai Gaffney, CEO at LayerJot, and we're going to be talking about a very interesting solution new to the marketplace that is going to give you access to surgical instrumentation and not only the database, but with pictures and the ability to actually scan the instrument with a smartphone or a camera and be able to research that database. There's a lot more to it, though, a much bigger vision. It involves crowdsourcing, and really everyone out there that listens to this Vendor Spotlight can download this app and then begin to contribute to its progress. And I think you're going to be very, very pleased with the implications that this has to have access to the accurate information in your fingertips in real time, quickly and efficiently. And Itai is going to tell us a lot more about it in just a couple of minutes. So stay with us. We'll be right back after a short break.
From 17 Studios, you're listening to Beyond Clean, the global voice of sterile processing.
Joining us now is Itai Gaffney, CEO at LayerJot. And Itai, really nice to speak with you. I know you just launched some pretty innovative and exciting technology that is leveraging some approaches that you don't see all that much in use today in the sterile processing world. So I can't wait to talk more about your vision for LayerJot. But first, welcome to the show. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you, Justin. Thank you for having me.
Why don't you give everybody a little bit of your background? You even had to remind me that we met many years ago, and we'll talk about that in a second. But where do you come from, and what are you bringing to the table with LayerJot in the sterile processing industry in terms of your experience?
Now, that's a great question. I'm coming back from the technology world. I'm coming from the high-tech world. I've been to several startups in information technology, knowledge management in Israel. I actually relocated to the U.S. about 18 years ago as part of the acquisition of one of the startups. And I've been a product guy in the tech industry for a long time. My main passion is user experience and how to help people to do their job better. And in the recent years, as you mentioned, I've been working with my partner, Soren Harner, on LayerJot. We bring our background in technology, in computer vision, augmented reality, knowledge management into the world of first-line workers, and especially right now in healthcare.
Yeah. So how did you get interested in sterile processing? What sparked your curiosity to go down this path?
Well, I've been working on this idea that I really would like to enable and empower people, especially kind of frontline workers. And in the world today, there is different approaches to things. One of them is to do training, intensive training, a lot of things that you need to remember. Another approach is to do a lot of manual things you can find, easy or not easy. That's a different discussion. And then there's the world of checklists, that you need to go through a checklist so you won't do a mistake. I had this idea that we should be able to help the person do their job better while they're doing it with minimal interaction and minimal interference by guiding them through the process of their task, but also to be able to verify that they have done the job correctly, and if not, help them to fix that. And another thing that I've been very fascinated about is everything around computer vision and augmented reality in the context of how can we overlay information about real physical object in the real world that will help people to work with. So it's not just VR or what if, or in case you see this, do that. It's really focusing on what's in front of you, the task in hand, and just be able to get the right information. And this is why at Layerjot, we build the guide and verify platform that allow us really to support different workflows. And in the last few years, we've been focusing, like you mentioned, on surgical instruments. And it's partly your fault. And, you know, we can tell the little story that we met, I think it was 3 years ago or so. You did some seminar in Stanford Children's Hospital around SPD. It was a weekend. And we are based in Menlo Park, really close to Stanford. And I just dropped in for the day. I was blown away by the level of complexity that the technicians are facing each day. I just fell in love with the community, with the people, and with the problem. And as I was kind of looking at different scenarios that we would like to focus on, I just said, this is something that is really, really a sweet spot for us. And it's a good karma. It's helping people. It's helping patients. It's also a very challenging from a technology perspective to be able to recognize and to work with such a big repository or catalog of instruments that look the same, but they're not the same. And also the cost of mistake is very high. And this is kind of one of the key goals of the guide and verify platform, is to make sure that users, people are not making expensive mistakes.
Yeah, I remember that conference at Stanford Children's, and Sean Flynn was the director of sterile processing at Stanford at the time, and he's been on the show several times. It was one of our very first guests on the show and helped us launch the podcast, and so that conference was phenomenal. A couple of other things that you said in there, you know, training, but I love the way that your approach to bringing technology to sterile processing is not only sort of self-training, but it also creates a lot of independence, but it does competency and validation all at the same time. And I think that's going to be a really important tool as we move forward, because we're in a staffing crisis. And so when training requires a mentor or somebody be dedicated as a full-time employee, and you'll find even the departments nowadays that have educators, they're very rarely able to work in that educator role because they're just meeting the staffing need so that they're able to get the throughput that's required. And a couple of other things that you said, and I really locked in on just how complex this can be. So as we try to bring new workers in, you know, again, how do we shorten that learning curve? And you've teased, you know, the Layerjot app and the technology a little bit. Let's dive into it, because I think you really laid out the state of the market. It's hard to remember this information, access to accurate information. You might want to talk a little bit more about that, you know, because I can tell you when I got into the instrument repair business, which is why I was at that department at Stanford, was putting on a conference for a repair company that I worked with at the time. You know, I remember when I got started, it's like trying to learn all of those instruments. And then I would have, you know, a lot of catalogs from different manufacturers in my car, and I had some inspection resources. But to be able to do that in the middle of a workday and access that and find that information is really difficult.
Yeah, that's true. So one of the things as a software product guy and a user experience professional, I observed a lot of technicians at their work in different facilities. And first of all, it's amazing that the facilities are so widely different. Some facilities are wide and clean, and some even have windows. Most facilities do not have windows, and it's cramped and it's busy. And if you move the wrong way, you find yourself in the washer. So I found myself kind of looking how people do things. And I was really fascinated by travelers, especially because these guys get parachuted into a department that have maybe a different jargon, different words for different instruments or widgets and so forth, and they just need to operate. And one of the things that really blew my mind is that I asked one of the travelers, how do you recognize these instruments if you have never seen it before? And he's like, well, I Google the SKU and I look at images. And that really blew my mind because I asked him to show me. And when he did, he found some photos off eBay of what the instruments were supposed to be with that SKU. And that was totally wrong. And that got me really motivated and passionate about it because I said, if I can get people access to the right, you know, even a definition of what the instrument is, helping them with the workflow is secondary. Let's make sure they have the right instrument in the tray. And then there is all these statistics around the industry of how many mistakes there are in a specific tray and how many OR minutes are lost or risk for patients. But in the gist of things for the SPD department, they just got something from the washer. They need to make sure that it's all there. They need to inspect it correctly. There is different areas to inspect per instruments or type of instruments. And there is just a lot of things to learn. And also, if you look at the demographic of people in the department, there is a lot of senior people and a lot of junior people and very few in the middle, so to speak. So there is a lot of shadowing and a lot of activities, like you mentioned, of teaching new workers the skills, and then they may leave or they may not stay in the department. And all of that information is lost, and all the work that the educator did are basically kind of wasted. So taking from best practices of things I've been doing for 25 years, I said there is a way to create a content management system that is more accurate. There is a way to work with vendors to bring the right information from the catalog, the right photos. And if we don't have all that pre-done, how can we build a community that can actually help itself? So I was teasing with some of the products, but just as an example, SID, which is a surgical instrument directory, it's the free app we just released a couple of months ago. And now we have it on Android and iOS as well. And you can use it on your phone using web browser or on your computer. So it's really accessible for anyone everywhere, and it's free. And in this app, you can search by vendor, by SKU, by category. And if you do not find the instruments you are interested in, you can actually add it. And what we've been seeing in the last few weeks is that people are starting to add more instruments that they care about and that we have not covered in our initial repository. We have over 80,000 instruments in the repository, but we don't have all the instruments. And we definitely don't have pictures of everything we have for most. So we see people in the community just say, hey, I have this instrument in front of me. I'm just going to snap a photo on my phone and I'm going to share it with the community. So now everyone has this accurate photo.
Is that a crowdsourcing approach? Because I feel like building this data repository, you know, with the end users contributing, I mean, it kind of gives everybody a feeling of connectedness to the app. I mean, how many times do you download an app, or even if it's just a game, but something doesn't work right and you become frustrated and you just stop using it? It's not like they're all designed with self-improvement continuously in mind. And I think that's one of the things that I love about the way you're approaching this is if there's a gap or there's something that, you know, can be addressed, you're really empowering the people that really care about what the technology is doing for them. You're empowering them to improve the technology along the way.
Yes, it's a technology and a service. So we can have people adding content. So you can add instruments, you can add photos of instruments. You can even take 10 photos of the instruments from different angle, and that will help us learn to recognize these instruments using the computer vision technology. So you are part of the product, the community is a solution, and it's all for you as a community, as a technician. And the more you give, the more you get, so to speak. And what we like about it is because there are some vendors that are primary in specific hospital, we have a big take of these vendors, and then another hospital come in and say, we have different type of instruments, and they learn these type of instruments. Now the community have both. So it's really just getting better and better. I don't want to geek out too much, but there is a lot of analytics and a lot of smartness in the computer vision and AI in the background that actually tracks, did people find what they're looking for? What are we missing? How can we find that information elsewhere and bring it? If someone tried to recognize the instrument, but it did not get it right, how do we make it better next time? So we know it's not perfect, but it definitely better than Google image search and finding photos on eBay, right? So one another thing we started to do is to say, we know that there is a big debate around IFUs and how to get to the right information at the right time. And we've been working with different players in this area to try to bring it all together. But we did partner with the group of GMDN that provide purpose of use per instruments. And this is kind of something that is posted in the FDA site. So we just incorporate into SEED, because sometimes you are looking for instruments, but you don't even know what is going to be used for. What it does.
Yeah, that was the thing when I downloaded the app that was the most impressive to me, is it wasn't, it had some information in there. And like you said, specific to how the instruments is used. And so many times in sterile processing, unless you go and shadow in the OR, you may not know. And so you might come across an instrument and, you know, your job is to put the tray together and make sure it's clean. And you might have all of those steps well memorized from practice, or the instrument itself might be a fairly simple instrument, even if its use is foreign to you, and you're going through those activities of reprocessing. But I can't tell you how many times that I've spoken to sterile processing techs who say that even just 4 or 5 hours in the OR watching a surgery is so beneficial to know how the instruments are used. So I love that you incorporated that in there. And it stood out to me when I started exploring SID on the app.
Yeah. Yes. And we have many photos and videos that people contribute as notes per instruments. And that include, for example, inspection instructions. That includes maybe things to be worried about, or, you know, point of failures. And you just put a, it's so easy to create a note and just take a photo and just add a few words to it. And then all the community is aware of that type of content. Now, it's important to say that all the content that we kind of share is being moderated by certified SPD technicians. We've been working with a group of technicians that are very senior people, and they just go through all the contribution and verify that this is true and this is correct, and sometimes fix some grammar or fix some other things, but it's all coming from the community right now and from the vendors that we've been working with directly.
Hmm. That's fantastic. I mean, the visual piece is really, really important. That positive identification, that understanding. Even sometimes people don't know if an instrument has been bent because they don't know what the original shape of the instrument should have been. And so if it comes down from the operating room, or it gets, you know, it's kind of jumbled up, or if it gets caught sometimes, you know, in the washer and in the tray, however, like all these damages that happen along the way, especially when you talk about micro instruments, it's hard to know, like, wait a second, is this supposed to have this curve? The obvious bends and kinks are one thing, but subtleties like that, I think that ability to have a visual reference right then and there, and in many cases, you know, you can't have a book out, or you can't necessarily in decon have your phone out to do like that eBay search, vetting some of that. I love that you have that moderated so that you're bringing that integrity piece that was missing from the internet search that you talked about before, that makes sure that, you know, these resources are used appropriately.
Yeah. And just to comment on that is that we are about to release in the beginning of July a new version of SID that will allow multiple images of each instrument. So the community can upload more versions, so to speak, of how the instrument look like in real life for them. So we started with one photo per instrument, but then we got feedback in the last couple of months saying, hey, we would like to see a few photos because it's look a bit different, and exactly to the points that you made. Mine is a bit more bent. Mine is still, you know, that look a bit different. Mine has a tape, you know, God forbidden, and some other things like that. So we are just releasing a version. And it's interesting to say that you guys been in healthcare for a long time, and you've been starved for technology that can assist you. We are bringing a really fresh approach to software in this demand. Everything is cloud-based or running on your phone. We are pushing updates every other week of functionalities and bug fixes. There is no need to install anything unless you want it on the phone. The SID app is running as a web browser app, so you can run it on any phone or browser. So it's really, really easy to use and easy to contribute to. So we really like the fact that people care to send us request and support tickets, and sometimes it's just a thank you note. I did an exercise a few weeks ago. I sent to the top 100 users in terms of engaged users my personal email and meeting invite link. And I said, hey, schedule a time with me. And I had a meeting with over a dozen passionate people that really shared their opinion with what they need, what they don't need. And as a result of that, we're actually going to release in July Seed in multiple languages. So the whole interface of the application is going to be in multiple languages, including Spanish and Russian and Arabic and Hebrew and French and Italian and German. And all of that is because people ask for it. They said, you know, our workforce speaks mainly Spanish. Can you make the app in Spanish? And he said, yes, it's make perfect sense. We cannot update, you know, I cannot go and translate V. Mueller catalog into Spanish, but I can definitely make sure that the application itself is very usable for a Spanish speaker. So we are really listening to the community and trying to figure out what is the right direction, because there is no competitor / alternatives beside Google Image Search. So we really want to build it together with the community, because this tool is for them.
All right. I want to transition this conversation to EasyTray, but before I do that, I know there's a number of people out there who maybe haven't downloaded the app yet, or, you know, gone to the website to be able to pull it down into their mobile browser. But I want to just talk about what that looks like with Sid. How do you, you know, research the database? I know you said you can take a picture and you can search it, but talk about that process a little bit. And then I want to talk about big picture, because when we start to dive into EasyTray, it's sort of like taking this initial step and then really starting to pull back the curtain and show the vision for what this technology is going to be capable of over time.
Yeah, great. So yeah, so EasyTray is a very simple application. You get a search box in the middle of the screen in which you can type descriptions, length. For example, you're looking for forceps of 5 inch. And you will get the results of all the forceps of 5 inch length that we have in the system. Or we already have some keywords, so you can just click and say, you know, Ashkelop, and you will have all the devices that are coming from Ashkelop. Or you can just do search by length. And this is as simple as text search gets. And this will find you a variety of instruments, and you can pin down the one you would like to zoom in, and you can just click on it and you get all the information and you can add information to it. The secret sauce of Flarejot with the computer vision side of things is also allowing you, very similar to Amazon image search. There is a little icon in the search bar. You click it, you switch to a camera mode, and then you need to take 2 photos of that instrument from both sides, open, closed, just to give us enough view of it. And you will get 3 results of the most similar instruments we currently have in the catalog. There is a great chance that this instrument is what you're looking for. And we are working really hard to turn that into a 1 photo process and not 2. But if you don't have that instrument in the computer vision catalog, you can easily with 1 click to say, I would like to add photos, and you can take 10 photos of that instrument for different angles, and we will review it and add it to the computer vision catalog, which means the next person will be able to recognize that using the camera. So that's kind of Sid is, and it's a very simple tool that we plan to keep free and just help the community gather more and more instruments so everyone will have access to them.
All right, so let's start talking about EasyTray, right? Because, you know, Sid is sort of the baseline functionality, but now we're going to be talking about AI. We're going to be talking about integrating with tracking systems. Start taking this vision and drawing it out for me.
Yeah, so after you identify instruments, the next thing is kind of what are you going to do with that information, right? So we're getting into the workflow realm. And what we saw is that one of the key activities that technicians are doing is tray assembly. And when we monitored how tray assembly is done, we identified that sometimes it's done from memory in small facilities with very senior people. Sometimes it's done off a paper checklist. Sometimes it's done from a tracking system that is either digital or paper checklist. And that's basically it. You get a vendor SKU and maybe some comment of saying, if you don't have this, you know, V. Mueller AU, use something else, the SA or something. So we figure out that there is not enough visual information for the users to actually make the right decision, the right call, if something is missing and something is wrong. So we build a process in which we leverage all the information we have in SID to be able to display as much as visual information and notes about the instruments that are in the count sheet. And then we also providing the option to use the AI assist, which use computer vision to actually identify the instruments and verify it and actually just mark it as assembled or missing or something else you need to in the count sheet. So it's really an AI assist for your manual work. And what nice about EasyTray is that it can work by just building your own tray in the system. You can use what we call the OCR, which is basically you can scan a manifest, a count sheet. You can upload a PDF file of a count sheet, and it will automatically convert it into the digital version of the EasyTray count sheet.
Wow.
Or you can connect to a leading tracking system and get all the information there both ways. So it's really providing the last mile of the process for the user to assist them to do the right thing. And later on, the vision is, because we are building probably one of the largest overall aggregated repository of surgical instrument, is to be able to streamline and to fix mistakes around count sheets in terms of names and other things. And also the big vision is to be able to start doing big data activities on that. So for example, we can start recommending that a C-section tray should have at least these instruments, because this is what we see across multiple hospitals or, you know, IDNs and so forth.
Or what about variation from one instrument set index number to another? Because I've seen that where there might be a substitution that ends up living in one of the trays for an extended period of time. And so you also get quality and consistency from one tray to another.
Yes, identifying alternatives or equivalents, depends on how you want to call it, be able to understand kind of what is a must-have. And, you know, part of the big, big vision later on is to, you know, track the usage of these instruments in the real world, in the OR and so forth. So imagine that you can identify instruments while you're tracking them, while they're going through the life cycle from the, let me even start from the vendor that lend you them, all the way to the peel and pack when it's kind of get ready to the surgery, all the way to the surgery setup on the back table, all the way to was it used or not used during surgery. And you have all that information gathered and you can start, you know, I see how you already thinking about tray trimming and how to standardization and all of optimization. And this is where you get to the big data play. But in order to do that, you need to have accurate information. And one of the things we see is that people are not very good in accurate data entry. And we think that it's for several reasons, but the bottom line is that we would like to assist them to collect accurate information, and then we can build a lot of additional value and services on top of that.
You know, what I really love about SID is, again, you know, you said you're going to make sure that it's free for personal use, and that's really your vision going forward for that. And so it, that in itself is a great resource. But then we're talking about this EasyTray where it really expands on it. And, you know, you're a business, so I'm sure that you have to, you know, as you build into the tracking systems and everything else, there's going to be a cost that's going to come, you know, with EasyTray to some extent. But when is EasyTray going to be available? Is that something that's coming right around the corner? Because that's a heck of a vision you just painted for us.
So EasyTray is available for over a year now at some beta sites. We have few hospitals that use EasyTray and give us feedback. And we waited with this release a little bit until we have, you know, a good understanding of this very critical workflow. So we plan to release over the summer a version of EasyTray that will be able to connect to leading tracking system, but also be able to use as a standalone. And again, we're bringing into this market something that does not exist, the SaaS, software as a service model, in which you can try before you buy. My vision is to, like SID, is to allow anyone to create a team and then invite few people and have few trays that they can either import or create themselves, or use some of the trays that we are building into the system as kind of sample trays and just give it a go and just try it out. So imagine you're an educator in a remote facility that maybe is using, I don't know, 25 trays, and you just got, for example, 5 trays to try for free, and you just take the hardest trays you have and you just put it in the system, and now everyone in your team is capable of assembling these 5 trays. You can go now to your manager and say, hey, I just proved the value of it. I need the budget for it. So unlike other companies who are selling mainly to the director level and above, we actually trying to start a revolution here. We would like to have the technicians, shift leaders and stuff like that saying, hey, I need this tool to just onboard quickly, to reduce errors, to improve quality and efficiency, and to make my life easier. Just let's be honest about it. I want to finish my long shift knowing that everything is good and I'm not stressed out and I got good help. And it's also something we can audit, right? We can actually get reports and see who did what and how much time and what were mistakes or what was good. All that information could be shared with the managers and so forth. And this is where the big vision is to change the way we offer this type of technology to the community and to the healthcare system.
You know, a lot of times when people sell into healthcare, you know, a lot of it, or even just make changes, you know, things like Kaizen events and the lean process is really about having the frontline workers be involved in change. Successful change management takes that approach. And one of the things that I also know that is oftentimes lacking in this industry is the ability to take that proof of concept and build it into a justification when you haven't really used something. And I feel like you're kind of combining those two in that try before you buy model, where you're showing this justification for the tool, and it's the people that are going to use it. So it's not just this higher level vision of this will make a big difference. Yeah, it'll make a big difference if we could get people to do it. Instead, the justification is coming from the people who want to use it. And so it just, when that information starts to funnel up, you know, to the decision makers, you also have the data to support it, and you already have the engagement, which means that's a successful implementation, or at least a recipe for successful implementation. And I can't say I've seen that, you know, in very many settings. So I think it's a revolutionary way to approach, you know, successful support, selling a solution into a hospital.
Yes, it's worked everywhere else, right? So this is something that you do as a user, as a consumer every day. And what we are just trying to do is to make sure that we give the right people the right tools to do their job correctly. And that will, you know, bubble up as you said it. It's also important to understand that there is no IT involvement required here, as this is a cloud-based solution. It's not a 6-month implementation IT project. It's basically you start using it, and if you need more, you may need to put a credit card or a purchase order and just keep adding more trays or team members or whatever formula we will have for the pricing of that. But I wish to, you know, to give the community the ability to start using EasyTray and to make the community say, this is the tool, the process, the workflow that I prefer do my job within, and then figure out how to sell it later. Because I've been to so many SPD departments that they have this area, a room or a side, a wall. We call it the wall of shame of all the technologies that were bought for this department and never used. And I really do not want to be there. I want to be a verb. I want to be a noun. I want to be something like, did you do this tray? Just use EasyTray, you know, just EasyTray, right? It's just easy. That's kind of where we would like to go, is to make sure that there is a value to the user. It's easy. It's accurate. It's, I wouldn't say fun, but it's less stressful than the daily job that you're currently doing. And we are very close to that. So the technology is really, really advanced and baked. The use case is pretty new, because this technology can be used in many other areas and industries. But for this specific element of tray assembly and surgical instruments, it's really, really tailored for. Because, you know, you guys live in the world of barcodes. There is a lot of work trying to etch barcodes on surgical instruments or to read it from supply packages. But what happens when the thing, the item is outside of the box, does not have a barcode, or there is some bio burden on the barcode? How are you going to be identifying that? And this is where our computer vision really, really shine is the ability to work in an environment that is messy and that it needs to focus and identify specific instruments, even if it doesn't have a name, a barcode, a SKU visible to you.
Yeah, that happens all the time because, you know, even as it goes through repair or over time, that laser etching can fade. And honestly, if you're doing a great job of taking care of your instruments, that means that that instrument has lasted longer. But yes, to your point, it might represent, you know, a little bit of difficulty for identification. We're just about at the end, but one of the things I also really like about your, you know, crowdsourcing model here is that you're focused on engaging the end users for the benefit of the solution to all of the end users. It's kind of like this exponential return game, and it is kind of a game. And I want you to talk a little bit about how you've taken, you know, the app and what you're doing with SID to really pull people in and use it. Because again, the more people that use it, the better benefit it is to the industry and the faster you get to that, you know, threshold of, wow, everything is in this database. We're only adding, you know, the new instruments that are coming into the world and everything's already here. How are you doing that? You mentioned real-time scoreboard to me before we got started.
Yeah, so we just released a scoreboard. So it's just a fun gamification element in which, you know, I've been monitoring Facebook and LinkedIn groups and I see people just contribute all the time. So a little token from our end is just to give some points for people who contribute. You add a photo, you get some points. You add a note, you get some points. And we just publish this leader score. And, you know, you can see yourself, you can see others on a weekly, monthly, you know, annual level. And it just, it's not a competition, but it's just a little token. And one of the things we're looking at from a business perspective is to see how can we identify who are the real large contributors and how can we maybe wrangle them into SID and make them moderators or make them part of official and unofficial role in the community that will help them really become a multiplier of knowledge. So we've been working with several educators that are very interested in kind of pushing more content and updating more stuff. So this kind of scoreboard will, you know, almost automatically will help you understand who is contributing more to the community and what they have contributed so far.
What about prizes and giveaways? Do you have any kind of prizes that are tied to that or giveaways to help people kind of get started?
Yeah, we haven't announced any prizes yet. We're still thinking about it, but we do have a starter kit. So we are going to have a place on the website on layerjaw.com by the time this podcast is live in which you can provide your information and we will send you a very nice starter kit that involves getting relevant material from us in a nice envelope that include different mats and different other gadgets that will help you do your job better and also be able to contribute to SID and EasyTray faster. So if you do not have a printer in the next to your workstation and you need some help with some of the collaterals or accessories from LayerJot, we're just going to send you to that as a gift. And we also invite you to share it with your community and have them ask for it. Right now, we have a limited edition of the first 100 is going to get it. But if there will be a demand for more, I'm sure that our marketing department will be happy to produce more of these.
Time is of the essence. So order a starter kit for free. At least the first 100 will be free. And you can register also for free on layerjot.com to do that. That's LayerJot.com. Download the mobile apps and be on the lookout for EasyTray and try it for free before you buy it. Itai, anything you want to add before we wrap up the podcast? I'm really excited. I know you're going to be sharing some of the feedback out there in the world as we continue to gain momentum with this application and this solution, SID and EasyTray. So I can't wait to watch this take off more and more as we move forward in the next few years.
Yeah. First of all, thank you. And I think you guys are doing a great job in kind of educating the community and making a community. So I just want to tell the people, I really appreciate what you guys are doing. I think you're rock stars. I really feel humbled to be able to develop or to bring some of my background and knowledge into this field to assist you. you are the rock star. I'm trying to enable you with some cool technology that exists elsewhere, but just really fitting for your needs. So yeah, let's work together. Let's make this a successful enterprise. Looking forward for your feedback. We're always listening. Thank you.
All right, Itai, thank you so much. That was Itai Gaffney, CEO at LayerJot, and we're talking about two different solutions today with Itai, which is SID, or the Surgical Instrument Database, and EasyTray. And we're talking about crowdsourcing information, but with a quality control element built in with moderators, and then ultimately funneling that data into an assisted or augmented reality and really helping automate a lot of the things that we do manually, and specifically around training. And I love the way that this solution and the vision for it is not only will we automate training, but that there will be a validation mechanism too, where we make sure that not only did we do what we were supposed to do, but that we did it correctly. And so having this kind of information, utilizing technology that we have literally in the palms of our hands today, I think makes this the kind of technology that gets adopted very, very quickly. And I'm interested to see where LayerJot and their SID and EasyTray solutions go here in the near future, because I can see this one taking off quite quickly. As a reminder, you can register for free on LayerJot.com. That's LayerJot.com. You can download the mobile apps and be on the lookout for the EasyTray solution in the newest release. It'll be a try before you buy, and that's coming out very, very soon. So very excited for that. And that's going to do it for this Vendor Spotlight. As a reminder, you can help support Beyond Clean by subscribing on Apple, Amazon, or Google Podcasts, as well as Stitcher, iHeartRadio, Spotify, or simply search for Beyond Clean on your favorite podcast application. We've also got bonus content for certain episodes, but you got to download our smartphone app for iPhone and Android. And while you're there downloading, we'd appreciate a rating and a review, because your feedback is important to the show. And speaking of feedback, if you do have any topics that you'd like us to cover on a future episode, or maybe you've got a guest in mind, just send an email to info@beyondclean.net. Thank you for listening to this week's Vendor Spotlight on Beyond Clean.